thank you all for being here today. It is indeed a pleasure and an honor to have Governor Jay Nixon with us today here at the Warrensburg Senior Center. And so, Governor Nixon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Typical 81 degree August. Thank you, Melissa, and thank you everyone here at the Warrensburg Senior Center for hosting us today. And quite frankly, for everything that this community does, not only the Senior Center, but this excellent facility and the people that serve it to make a real difference in this community. From home delivered meals to healthcare, Missouri's 10 area agencies on aging provide a wide range of essential services for seniors, helping them live longer, fuller, and more independent lives. It is a high calling, and it's important work. Work that improves the quality of life for older Missourians and strengthens our community. Now, as governor, my top priority has been to create jobs and move Missouri's economy forward. And that is exactly what we have done. A couple of good leaders like Dr. Ambrose here from UCM, who has worked hard over the last 4 years not only to improve the opportunities for schools and for kids, but also to make sure that we have been the least amount of tuition increase of our public four-year institutions of any state in the country. Dr. Ambrose, I thank you for your leadership. The nation's eyes were on UCM just a few short weeks ago, recognizing the excellence there, and we are confident that didn't happen by accident, and you're going to see many more positive things come off of what has been a strong, aggressive intellectual effort there. For the past 4.5 years, we have worked tirelessly to balance Missouri's budget and protect Missouri's perfect AAA credit rating. I'm proud to say that we did this not by reaching into taxpayers' wallets, but by making government smaller, smarter, and more efficient. In fact, 4 times during my first term, we cut taxes to help Missouri businesses succeed, hire, and grow. But those tax cuts were focused on job creation and respecting folks. For example, we passed a measure that is phasing out the state taxation on military retirements, with the goal being not only to help show respect to those who've been in Afghanistan, Iraq, and around the world supporting and keeping our way of life, but also after folks retire after 5, 10, 15, or 20 years to make sure that this is the place where those next careers start. We've worked to end the double taxation in the franchise tax. We've focused on manufacturing efforts and brought Ford and GM and over $1.5 billion investment. Those are the kind of tax things that can make a difference. And quite frankly, Missouri is now ranked as one of the best states in the nation to do business with a perfect AAA rating, low taxes, and a stable, predictable economic climate. We've also worked to support our seniors. We launched and expanded, back in my days, the AG's office, a no-call list. I remember being in this very room a long time ago. We had Operation Senior Sting right here, in which we had seniors from this region to keep their mail for a month to see if there was any potential scams. And then I came here for this sorting. Literally, this room, I believe, was completely full of mail, and we spent the better part of a month going after that. We strengthened laws to protect seniors from financial exploitation, and we reached across the aisle to reauthorize Missouri's RX program, which helps seniors and Missourians with disabilities afford their prescriptions. This commitment to fiscal discipline and common sense has paid off, and Missouri's economy continues to pick up steam. As we sit here now, businesses are hiring, revenues are up, and folks are getting back to work. But fiscal responsibility is just as important when times are good as when times are tough. And that's why we're here today. House Bill 253, which I vetoed in June, contains a huge tax increase that Missourians cannot afford and don't deserve. Now, there are many problems with House Bill 253, from the special breaks for lawyers and lobbyists to the grave threat it poses to vital public services like education and public safety. In fact, this bill's costs are so staggering, its provisions so flawed, that they even caught the attention of leading independent credit rating agencies. In separate reports issued just last month, Standard & Poor's, Fitch, and Moody's all indicated that House Bill 253 could jeopardize our state's long-standing spotless AAA credit rating. But a bill that increases taxes on every single Missourian taking prescription drugs by a total of $200 million a year cannot and will not become law. Since 1979, Missouri has exempted prescription drugs from statewide sales tax, an exemption that this bill eliminates in one fell swoop. If this bill becomes law, folks would pay a new tax of up to 10% in some communities on prescriptions to treat osteoporosis, diabetes, high blood pressure, and other chronic conditions. The out-of-pocket cost of prescription drugs already puts a strain on Missouri seniors. The last thing they need is a tax increase from Missouri General Assembly. Putting additional barriers between Missourians and the life-saving medications they need is unnecessary, unacceptable, quite frankly, dangerous. Now, it's clear that many members of the General Assembly did not have the opportunity to read or fully understand everything in this bill when it was pushed through in the final weeks of session. Folks, I served in the legislature a bunch of years ago. It gets pretty busy the last week or 10 days there. And a lot of things come across. And quite frankly, that's understandable. And it's why, in the governor's office, not only me, the governor before me, take the bill review process so seriously. Mistakes get made, we catch them. What's not understandable are those who still insist that this flawed bill should become law, that we should go ahead and raise taxes on prescription drugs, defund our schools, and put our credit rating at risk. I should note here that the first vote to raise taxes on prescription drugs may have been an accident, but now that they understand the gravity of this error, there is no excuse to vote a second time to raise taxes on seniors, cancer patients, and others who depend on prescription medication to stay healthy. Now, it is just, now there are some folks out there saying, oh, we'll go ahead and we'll vote again on this, and then we'll come back next session and we'll fix it. Now, I've been around the process a little bit, let's say, after 27 years in public service. If you have folks from the government saying, here's the deal, we'll tax you, trust us, we'll take care of it later, be highly skeptical, okay? Highly skeptical. Quite frankly, the simplest thing to do here is to sustain my veto, move forward, come back in January. If there are things we need to do about our taxation system, we'll deal with it when folks are in session. But raising taxes on prescription drugs is not on that menu. And putting that risk in front of folks and adding two additional health care costs is not on that menu. And that's why I need your help. 2 years ago, we worked together to reauthorize the Missouri RX program for low-income seniors. So I know what's possible when we marshal our collective resources and make our voices heard. Okay, the other thing, you're not going to see any TV commercials about this tax increase. You know, you're not going to see any mail about it or all that sort of stuff. And that's why I'm traveling the state to talk to groups like you around the state to talk about this. Because it's very, very important that we do, that people understand what's in these measures. I'll also say that this campaign to keep this tax and to take money away from schools and whatnot is basically being funded by one guy. And, you know, a little politics 101, we do, you've heard of what's called grassroots efforts when you go out in the communities and you talk to people. Here I remember 150 people talking to them and folks will talk to their neighbors. That's called grassroots. When you have the money that this guy has on the other side, he does something in the business that we call astroturfing. Okay, it's not grassroots. What they do is they go out and they'll hire a email company to send 1,000 emails to the state representative or whatever. They'll hire a phone company to make sure a state senator gets 3,000 calls. And believe me, as governor, I get all of them. Every email I get plus more, and every phone call I get. That's a lot different than individual citizens. Real people affected by the policies that we make in just cities. So I ask you, as we approach the next few weeks on September 11th, that you communicate with folks and educate with folks about this significant problem. Now is just not the time to reach into the pockets of our most vulnerable citizens and make it harder for them to make ends meet. Together, we can and will stop this unaffordable and ill-conceived tax increase from becoming law. We can maintain fiscal discipline and hold the line on taxes. We will protect our seniors, strengthen our economy, and move this state forward. With that, I'd be glad to take any questions from the press or anybody else. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. The question about the Medicaid expansion, which I think is a smart policy thing for us to do. I think we need to continue to move forward. I think we need to continue to move forward to reform and put more personal responsibility in that system. But I think it's very, very important for us to draw down these federal dollars and expand health care coverage for people by that. I mean, it's about $2 billion a year that everybody in Missouri will pay in taxes. And the question is whether or not we're going to get that money back from Washington so we can reform and improve our healthcare system in Missouri, or whether we're going to leave that so they can send it to other states to do it. And my sense is, from a fiscal perspective, we ought to take those dollars, we ought to use that opportunity to make that healthcare system better. I do think over the summer here, you've had interim committees in both the House and the Senate working on those issues. We are hopeful that as they hear from citizens around the state and as they begin to understand better the importance of this, that they want to move forward on it. Because if they don't, a couple of things are going to happen. We're going to become less healthy as a state, but also folks with private pay are going to see dramatic increases in those costs, because you'll see a cost shift over. So my hope is, while not tied directly here, clearly in the same zone, that the legislature, after hearing from the constituents and studying this summer, will come back in January ready to help us move forward to improve, reform, and strengthen our Medicaid system, get these dollars back from Washington, spend them in Missouri in a cost-effective way to keep health care costs affordable and to expand access. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Clearly, what the question was, I mean, under these systems, I mean, folks pay Social Security, they pay Medicare, you pay self-employment tax, you pay all of these things into the system to get those back. Yeah, I mean, this has taken on, and the Medicaid side of this, quite frankly, the entire healthcare piece, has taken on kind of a political tone in this discussion, as opposed to and I'm hopeful that last year not getting it done will now get us beyond that and will allow us to have kind of some reasonable discussions about what we ought to do. I think that using taxpayer dollars efficiently and effectively is something that is extremely important, and people paying those dollars in. I mean, as governor, I mean, during the year 2009 to 2012, obviously we had a significant recession. We held the line on taxes, but we protected services. So we spent a lot of time trying to make sure we spend your dollars correctly. And folks that pay taxes, quite frankly, Medicaid, we've always had a dollar perspective. The question is simply whether or not all of us, every man, woman, and child in the state of Missouri, is going to pay $300 a year that's used for health care in Iowa, Illinois, Arkansas, New York, and California, or whether we're going to get those dollars back here in Missouri and use those to improve and keep costs down for others in the health care system of our state. So that's a long answer to a short question, but yes. I'm sure people have asked some questions by being so long. Jack. A couple of things. First of all, the only real problem we've had as we travel the state is no matter how big a room that we get, there's still not enough seats. And I think that's a pretty good sign. Secondly, I've been, once again, heartened by Missourians who have respectfully and appropriately studied these issues and had informed, respectful questions for me in a discussion. I mean, yesterday I was in Cape Girardeau, and I was in St. Louis last night with a group of educators. This morning we were in a family pharmacy in Kansas City. And I have found folks to be very, very understanding that now is not the time to raise taxes on seniors and to defund our basic public education services. So I think we're making solid progress. I think that folks just need to hear from their constituents, but the people that I have talked to have been very strong. Once I understood what was in this bill and that the risks we would have if we move forward on it, that not only would you have a $200 million tax increase on folks getting prescription drugs, you would also have, the bill also contains, I mean, it's almost like I don't have enough time to go through all the bad provisions here. I'm sorry, but I have to bear with me. There's a lot of doors. If I get too long, you can just walk out of them. But it's a pretty bad pursuit. This is also a bill that increases sales tax on college textbooks. Boy, now that's a way to keep college costs down. Welcome them back to campus by increasing the cost of tuition of textbooks by somewhere between 7% and 11% across the state of Missouri. That portion has been very important too. And the creditworthiness of the state is something that's very important. That AAA status that we have, we're a very rare state, we're AAA, we're very loyal to that. For 46 years, Missourians have had that. Democrats and Republicans, folks working together on the fiscal piece, and the way that this bill is drafted with triggers in it and retroactive things, the credit rating agencies do not like it, and that's been a problem. And once people, my answer to the question, Jack, is once people understand the what's in this measure, very clearly they will say to me, let's come back and look at this again in January. If we want to do something with the health patient system, fine, we'll look at that. But we also need to do something about some of the entitlements like tax credits so that we get some reform there. If we're going to do this, let's look at the whole thing. Let's not just pick and choose certain beneficiaries. Let's not give a $260 million tax break to S-Corps and LLCs for pass-through income and at the exact same time raise taxes by $200 million on seniors. Let's not raise the taxes for kids going to college by paying more for their textbooks while at the same time giving a special break to lawyers and lobbyists on their taxes. That's not the way to do this. It's just not the way to do it. And I think the more we've had a chance to talk to folks, the more they've understood that. One more, and then I've got to... I should note, this first lady and I take the Missouri 100-mile challenge. I'm now at 161 miles. My gut is smaller than it was back the day I vetoed it. I just recommend everybody. I'll be quick. I'll get your answer. But we were choking the outstanding trail state in the country this year, so the first lady and I are challenging Missourians to hike 100 miles. So we started at the beginning of summer to try to get to 100 miles. She is currently 13.5 miles ahead of me. I've been chasing her for 35 years, and I have never caught her, and I'm going to have to get out anyway. So my gut says we're making real progress, that as people get the information. But my gut also says that there's a whole bunch of money on the other side. I mean, when you're talking about giving out tax breaks, there are people that receive those breaks, okay, that are very interested in them. And so you get commercials and all that sort of stuff and mailings and whatnot. I think we're making serious progress, but I think it is extremely important that that everybody understand not only what this does on the tax side, but also on the education side. That's why we've been talking to educators about how if you didn't interact with this, you would lose money out of local public schools, out of higher education, and I'm just convinced that we're going to educate our way to the future. So my sense is that we're making progress, and I know that the members that I've had a chance to talk to, and I've talked to a bunch of them, as they see what is actually in this measure they voted for, they have been much more open to this, but I'm not a commentator, I'm a participant. And I think I'm a big believer in democracy. And if you educate Missourians about what the facts are or something, I'm confident that they will educate their representatives about their opinion on it. And so in that sense, I feel like we're making really good progress. I'll lay that, yes ma'am. You know, I'm sorry I couldn't hear you. If it's a really hard question, just keep your voice down, and I'll leave. But if it's an easy question, no, I'm serious. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead one more time. I mean, you see some federal things that have dealt with that. We have had to, because of the potential $1.2 billion that the state would have to pay out in refunds under this bill, we restricted, and the rating agencies acknowledged that we needed to. I restricted about $400 million in the original budget as appropriated. I'd love nothing more than to come to September 12th today after the veto session and push send on those restrictions, get all that money back out there. So I was, in essence, required to hold that so that we could keep our cash balances in a situation that we would maintain our outstanding credit rating. But if I'm able to sustain this veto, I look forward to getting those dollars out. But if we don't, if I don't sustain this veto, then all of those general revenue funds, whether it's education or senior services or others. I mean, to put it in context, this bill is about when fully enforced, this bill would cost between $700 and $1.2 billion a year. Put that in context, I mean, we think $850 million is a fair estimate of what it costs. That's more money than we spent on higher education. That's more money than we spent on mental health. That's more money than we spent on corrections. It's a lot of money. I mean, no, $750 million a year is a lot of money, and it would affect anything in the state budget that, that has a directional revenue line. Yeah, President Ambrose? Yeah, so the higher education is about 9.7% of our general revenue budget. The same government effect would be about $200,000 a month from UCM's budget. I'm going to take one more question because I got to go back. You've had one. I'm sorry. The lady in the far back. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I mean, I think on all of these fronts, I think on the, especially on the question was asked earlier on the disability side and on healthcare and this. I mean, it's a little bit of a separate subject, but if we can, when we come back next year, move forward on the expansion and strengthening of Medicaid, I mean, it would provide a great opportunity for us to have not only healthcare but prescription benefits for folks not only disabled but working poor, and enable us to build ramps so that people enter the workforce and are working their way up. We can help them with co-pays and whatnot with their healthcare. So in that sense, I think the first question was asked about Medicaid probably ties as directly as anything here. Let me conclude by saying I want to thank everybody for coming today. And the other thing, I got asked by the press here about this. We have had a number of meetings like this all across the state, and I've been heartened by the respectful, intelligent conversations we have. But this is an important public policy moment. I mean, you cannot be for senior citizens and be for 253. You cannot be for education and be for 253. This is one of those splitter points in our democracy that is just, quite frankly, in my view, that important. I appreciate you all being with us today, and I'm going to continue to work to make sure that this piece is sustained and we can continue to see the economic and other growth that we are having here in the Show Me State. Thank you, and God bless.